that is written from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel. Pastor Paul Chapel does a really wonderful job. Is any church perfect? No, no church is perfect. So he's a guy that does the daily in the Word devotions. Sometimes you guys have seen those books that you had, those 365 days inside the Word. He writes those. He also writes a devotion that gets sent to some of your emails. It's a good thing. I don't think it should be the only devotion you have, but it's something that's encouragement. And I get one every day. Do I read it every day? Not always. Most of the times I do, but sometimes I catch up 2 or 3 days in a row because that's not my main focus for devotions, but I think it's a good thing. So what we're going to do as a class is we're going to go through a discipleship class using this book, Continue. Now, here's some things I'd like to you consider. If you'd like to have a book, we bought quite a few books because we want to use it for in the future, and we found it for a very inexpensive price. What I'd like for you to do is get a book, and if you don't want to pay anything for it, that's fine. The book costs somewhere around $5. If you want to give the $5, that's fine. If not, it's not. You don't have to worry about it. But inside of it, you're going to follow along, you fill in the blanks, and there's a devotion for every single day. It gives you a memory verse. It also gives you some other things. So you say, why are you doing this? It's because I like to train people how to disciple somebody else. It's a part of our church that we really need to do, and I like to see us use this some. So if we go through it as a group, number one, if you've never been through discipleship, this will help you. Number two, if you have been through it and you're like, well, why do I need it? When's the last time you discipled somebody? I mean, let's just be honest. When's the last time you took the Word of God and showed somebody how to do it? You said, well, I don't know how I'm supposed to do that. Well, this is going to help you because there'll be books available and there'll be things that you can do to help do this. Now, we're not trying to lift up, you know, Lancaster or Paul Chapel at all. What we're trying to, this is, gives a good format. I'll go through it with you, go through every page with you. It takes us about 14 weeks. And those 14 weeks, it's not like a year like some of the other ones have been. And these 14 weeks, it will ground you, but also I'll be able to teach you the way I like to see you do it for someone else. I know these widow ladies will not be in here during that time period, but for the rest of the group, I think it'd be good because we're always looking for people to disciple. You say, well, who needs to be discipled? I think it's always good to go through these. When I go through things, I enjoy it because, once again, it's reaffirming my faith. It's strengthening my faith. It's giving me new ways to talk to people and help instruct people, and it gives us a foundation to build off of. The Bible desires that we teach other people. The Bible desires that we do not keep the Word of God to ourselves. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to go out and tell other people. We're also supposed to see them baptized, plus we're also to teach them. So I think it's important we understand that we all have a ministry and a job. And if someone says, that's not really my thing, we should ask ourselves why. And we should ask ourselves, do we believe God intends this for us to do, for everyone to do it? Should everybody be a discipler? Not everybody has the, let's make sure I use the right word. Or not everybody is at the right spiritual level to be a discipler. But I think God intends for all of us to pass our knowledge on to somebody else. You say, well, I don't have any knowledge. Why? And we're supposed to be in the Word of God daily. We're supposed to come to church. We have something we can share with somebody else. And these might even answer some questions for you. And then be say, well, how do I talk to somebody about this? And how do I talk? So before we get too far into it, I want us to look at this idea of that we're starting off with the purpose of discipleship. So these books will be available next week. Like I said, you do not have to pay for it. If you like to give in a helping a donation, you get to keep it. So that way someday, if you ever want to go through and help somebody, you'll have all the blanks already filled out. You'll see it. But if you take a book, I want you to say, I'm willing to read those devotions and I'm willing to do my best to be here for all 14 weeks to fill it out. I don't want you to just take a book, fill out 1 week and say, this is stupid. I want you to stay with it and make good use of the book too. So that will be here available for you next week, and you'll just come up and get it. I'll have it sitting on the tables or be sitting up here. You can get it. I'll ask if anybody else wants one next week. And like I say, if you want to pay the $5 for it, you can just give it to Miss Sharon Yannick, and I won't know who pays and who doesn't pay. Because I don't like knowing who gives and who doesn't give, because the Bible talks about as none of my business in my mind. Sometimes some pastors, I know, check giving records and check everything else, but I think that's between you and the Lord. So, okay. Anybody ever heard the illustration of a Dead Sea Christian? Anybody ever heard that before? And so Dead Sea Christian, the Dead Sea is known for being a place where there is a lot of inlets and no outlets. It's something that is always there, and the water's coming in, and it's never going out. So because of that, there's no fish that lives there. There's no vegetation that lives there. It's pretty much a murky, just unclean sea. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? A lot of Christians are like that. What do you mean, murky and unclean? No, I mean the fact that there's a lot of inlets that we hear the Word of God and we learn the Word of God. But there isn't very many of us giving out the Word of God. Because if you keep on taking it in, and ignoring God's prompting to give it out, you know what you're going to be? A dead Christian. God desires for us to tell other people. And he said, well, I'm not comfortable with that. Maybe when I get more grounded, and I'm thankful for people that have been saved recently, but there's not a lot of us in this room that have not been saved less than 5 years. And so because of that, we should have something to tell. And that's the reason why we're going to try to go through this book together. And I think we're going to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, thank you for putting up with it. But it's something the Lord laid upon my heart a number of months ago, but I was trying to figure out the way to do it, and I thought the best way and the easiest way would just to do it in here. You might want to try to get one of the seats with a table. You can use on your lap, whatever you want, but prayerfully consider whether or not you should take the book and go through it. Now, you say, well, if I don't take the book, can I come to class? Of course. We're not going to throw you out of class, but you're just not going to get as much out of it. Am I going to learn anything? You are going to learn things. Many of it's going to be reinforcing and having faith and showing you those things of what a young Christian, new Christian, even a babe Christian needs to know and understand. Because of the fact that I think about when I was a kid, which I know I'm probably one of the youngest guys in the room. But when I was a kid, it was not hard for a person to get saved and be in church for all the different services. It was just something that was normal back then. You know, some preachers call it three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Nowadays, when someone gets saved, you're just praising the Lord if they come to church once or twice a month or three times a month. And why is that? And I think one of the main reasons is because someone doesn't come alongside them and help encourage them and disciple them. So we're trying to set up a way, a format, give a model to where people can disciple someone else. I think it should be done in a Sunday school classroom with just one-on-one, or if it's a couple, two-on-two, either in Sunday school hour or on Wednesday night. That way people get the opportunity to get used to coming to church for Sunday school on Wednesday night. I think these are all important things to understand, that we do not see ourselves reproducing Christians to take our place, or reproduce our church, or Christians to come to our church. And we're really excited about people that only come once or twice a week. But we want people to reach their potential for God. The desire is that we want people to reach their potential for the Lord. And I think the way that we're going to reach their potential for the Lord is, number one, that we live a life, as we talked about on Wednesday night, that will model our faith for someone else. But also, it's important that we come alongside and help someone, mentor them. I don't know if you've ever been through a discipleship class, but I know in my life, I've had people, and as a teenager growing up in church, I didn't really ever have discipleship 101 like they had for adults, because as a young person, by the time I got to become an adult, I already knew a lot of this stuff. But I did have men in my life that I can look back and say, these men took time to spend with me, and they helped mentor me. They helped disciple me. When I had questions about the Bible, I didn't go talk to my pastor. And Pastor Barry, nice man. Everybody knew who Tom Barry was, Pastor Thompson's old pastor. He passed away last week. So and that was kind of sad. But he had spent many, many years serving the Lord. But I wouldn't, you know, Pastor Barry didn't even know my name. We had a big church. His wife knew my name, but he knew I was a Pease boy. He was a nice man, and he would, all those different things. But the people I had questions for, I would go ask people like Bob Boyle, Gene Stevens. Now, Gene Stevens is Sheriff's dad, Sheriff Odison's dad. You know, people in my life that I knew invested in me that would have time, and they cared for me. I knew Pastor Barry cared for me, but people who cared and was there for me to where I could ask them questions. We need to be trying to help others doing this. Now, the best thing I think is for us to do it inside our church, as a local church. Everything comes from a local church. But you might say, hey, I know somebody that is in work that I'm not sure if he's a Christian or not. And he's out of church. They don't understand why I believe something. this is something that once we go through it, you could go through it with them. And that way people understand. I don't know about you, but some of my family thinks I'm crazy for some of the things I believe and why I believe certain things. And they don't understand why I believe it. I just say, hey, look, these are some of the reasons why I believe this, this, and this. You want to go through this with me? We'll do it together. And these are things that can help and encourage people and just say, hey, would you be willing to give me an hour a week so you can understand why I believe some important things? And that's what we're trying to do, not just disciple, because our job is not to try to build our church. That's God's job. But it's our job to build the kingdom of God and what he's given us to give out the gospel. And while we do that and while we disciple others, one of the obvious benefits will be that we will see people saved and discipled. So let's look at some of these things. It's already 10:20, so we'll see how far we get. But this is just an introductory lesson. This has nothing to do with the book, so you will not be missing anything inside the book. The purpose of the discipleship, and 2 Timothy 2:2, the Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's saying, those things you've learned of me, and you've heard among many witnesses. What does that mean? He's told a lot of people these things. He says, now, I want you to take those things, and I want you to commit those to faithful men. Now, ladies, you cannot think that, hey, that doesn't apply to you. It also applies to the ladies, too. He says, those things you've learned, I want you to commit that to them. He said, okay, Pastor, you do that every week. You commit the things that we've learned, and you give that. But what's the next step? Who shall be able to teach others also? So the idea here is multiplication. If we could learn that we get saved and we bring someone to Christ and then we disciple them and we teach them to win someone to Christ and then we go out to reach somebody else and disciple somebody else, instead of just us doing it, it is then two people that are doing it, and then from the two becomes four to the four becomes eight, and you just keep on going and going. So it's the idea that this is a scriptural thought. That, you know, one thing Paul taught to Timothy, he said amongst many witnesses, he taught to many people, he says, I want you to commit this now to people who are faithful, and that way they can also teach this to someone else. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you're there, it says in verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, the unmerited favor that is in Christ Jesus. You know, he says, look, this is what I want you to be strong in. And when you're strong in that grace, then I want you to be teaching the things that we learn in verse number 2. Verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be easy. To get someone to commit to studying something for 14 weeks is not going to be easy in the day and culture that we live in. To get someone to say, hey, I'm willing to read a devotion each day and try to memorize a verse each week is not something easy. Once again, way back when I was a kid, and especially probably when you were a kid, that people thought going to church was a privilege and they were excited about it and they wanted to go. And, you know, it wasn't hard when a person got saved. You saw the fruit of it. They knew they were supposed to be in church and they knew they were supposed to be there all the services and they knew that they wanted to be faithful. But we don't see that today. It's because many times in the past, there was people who came alongside of them and mentored them, and it was a different culture we live in. Today, we need programs and models to help people and things to go through. And that's why I think it's important, that discipleship. Let's see here. Let's look at a couple things here. We need to seek balance in here. So let's look at these. We're going to have to move a little quicker than I thought. The purpose of discipleship, number one, is an equal part of the Great Commission. An equal part of the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I think that if this is the number one and the main argument is that everybody says, I think everybody would agree that Jesus Christ and God wants us to tell people about Jesus Christ. He wants people to be saved. I think we would all agree with that. You know, whether we're doing it like we should, whether we think we should have to or not, it is part of the Great Commission. It's something that we should all be passing out a track. It's something we should all be praying that we see people saved. It's something that we should all be a part of and all that we should be doing. And unfortunately, I think that we lack in this and we need to work on this. It's something I need to work on. But it is a commission that God's given us. Go ye into all the world. He is ascending up to heaven here. And as he ascends up to heaven, He's saying, this is what I want you to do. But he not only does this, after a person gets saved, they're supposed to do what? They're supposed to get baptized. think we'd all agree with that. It says in the Bible, it's pretty clear. This third thing is discipleship. This third thing is teaching them to observe what it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. You know, there are a lot of people today that aren't grounded because they got saved, they got baptized, everybody was excited, everybody was happy, but then no one came alongside of them and said, let's teach you what I've learned about the Bible. In a nice way. I know sometimes people do it in a class. I think the best setting is one-on-one or two-on-two because you get to have a personal relationship and you're teaching others also. So I want you to see that it's just as important as getting baptized. You know, we'll go after people. You need to get baptized. Well, you need to be discipled too. Next thing I want you to see here is not only is this discipleship a equal part of the Great Commission, but it's also an effective way to bear fruit that remains. I think that we would all agree that God didn't intend for us to see people saved, possibly even get baptized, and never see them again. If that was the case, why are we here? If church is all supposed to be about salvation and baptism, it is something that we want to see fruit that remains. We want to see people that, and I know some of you have this testimony. I've been going to this church for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I got saved at this church. You know what that is? That is fruit that remains. That is fruit that is staying. It's here. It's faithful. It's connected. It is assimilated into the church. It is people that are thriving and being faithful to service. It's people that are giving. It's people that are serving. We need to make more of those. Why is that? Because our church will die if we don't. And you know, God's supposed to bring the people in, but we're supposed to be the ones helping bring them in. And so it says here, if you want fruit that remains, as it says in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and obtained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So this is something we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bearing fruit and that your fruit should remain. That is someone who remains in the Word of God and remains faithful. You say, Pastor, that is not my responsibility or that is not my problem that they don't come to church. It's not my problem that they're not faithful to God and they don't develop and increase. I agree. But if it's your part that's supposed to help disciple someone, it's your part to teach others also. If you want to help bear fruit that actually remains and that's going to stay faithful, they need to know the Word of God and they need to develop that relationship with God. And the devil's going to do everything he can to try to stop them from reading a scripture and try to stop them from getting used to reading the Bible five times a week and going to get used to stop come to a church that's going to try to ground them with the Bible. They're going to do everything they can. The devil's going to do everything he can to stop them. And is the church going to do anything to help encourage it? So devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. And when Christians are not even trying, then who's going to win? Why do we lose so many people? Is it because of a lack of interest sometimes? Did they not really truly get saved and not understand? Did they just make a false professions? Maybe sometimes. Or sometimes is it the fact that we need to be teaching others also? If we really truly want fruit that remains, we should be a person that's willing to invest your time. And that's when it says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know, and this is talking about abiding in Christ. This is talking about bringing forth fruit, but also talking about fruit that remains. Colossians verses 2, 6, and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We want people who are rooted and grounded in Christ. Every believer needs to be in the Word of God. Every believer needs to have a personal relationship with God. Daily personal relationship on our own with the Lord, also with His Word. Discipleship is strong in helping that. Discipleship is strong in helping develop a habit of reading the Word of God. It's strong in helping develop the habit of memorizing. We're supposed to read. We're supposed to memorize. If you have someone who's caring and loving you and meeting with you every week for a number of weeks, asking, did you read your Bible this week? Oh, okay, you struggled there with that. Let's pray that God helps you. Did you learn this verse this week? You say, you're being pushy. No, we're trying to teach others also. Did you have somebody that helped you do that? So, no, I never had anybody. How's your Christian walk today? How much did you read your Bible this past week? How much did you take forth an effort? There's things that the Word of God can do that no man can do. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We had to get them into a relationship with God, yes, through salvation, but then they need to get into the Word of God, because there is something that the Word of God can do that nothing a man can do. And even though we can be friendly, even though we can try to come alongside them and try to help them, what we need to do is try to help disciple someone. You say, well, how do I do that? And that's why we have materials and resources to help with that. And that's why I want to encourage you to go, now, is this the best one? I'm not saying it's the best the world has to offer, but I'm also saying it puts us an avenue in a way that we can do. Okay, next thing, to establish a relationship. Now, once again, we mentioned a relationship with God. We mentioned a relationship with the Word of God. What I'm talking about here is a relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. They need that. They need that. If the devil is going to do whatever they can to whisper in your ear, nobody likes you. You don't fit in here. These people have been saved for a lot of years. They probably never, ever sin. They should go to your house. You guys sin plenty, just like I do. You know, but the devil is going to try to, they need someone who's going to come alongside them and help them. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what is the advantage point of provoking someone unto love? What is the advantage point of provoking someone unto good works? I mean, what is the greatest way you can do that? If someone already you know who's loving, who's investing in you, who's spending time with you, who's encouraging you and getting you in the Word of God, who else is better to provoke a person unto good works? Who else is it? You know, it's great for someone to call and say, hey, we missed you at church. But if that person never talked to you while you were at church, you're going to be like, who are you again? I mean, what church do you go to? I've never met you. Never even said hello to me before. You know, it's how are you going to provoke someone to good works? You're going to provoke someone to good works by caring and establishing a relationship. This relationship is the most powerful venue to provoke. The pastor should preach and teach the Word of God. Pastor obviously can have a personal relationship with others. Like I said, I know pretty much everybody's name that comes in the church, and sometimes I forget people's names because I'm getting old. But it's like I said, I get to meet them and I try to know them, and it's not a big enough church where I don't get at least personally greet and talk with each person and try to know something about each person. But at the same time, when the pastor preaches and teaches the Word of God, especially for someone who is a young Christian who is a babe in Christ, you know, they hear a pastor say something. Maybe something that they don't understand. Maybe the pastor preaches against abortion or about liberal things or about liberal preachers. And they might be confused by it, and they would never probably consider coming up to the pastor. He probably wouldn't be bold enough to come up and say, oh, why did you say that? Oh, I don't agree with that. But if there is a person who has to develop and has began a relationship and who has helped disciple this person, that individual will feel comfortable going by and saying, hey, I didn't understand when the pastor said that. Can you help explain that to me? And either you can understand the pastor's heart when it comes to the wickedness of homosexuality and the wickedness of abortion, things that they might not know, things that they might not understand yet because they're not grounded in the Word of God yet, but you could explain that to them, or they could say, you know what? I know my pastor loves you. Let's go talk to him about that and bring them to them. See, that's what a relationship with someone can help encourage them. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. People need a pattern to follow, and discipleship gives them an avenue to allow this to happen. It gives them an environment. So a discipleship is to develop a relationship, to pray for them, to invite them over, to spend time with them, to disciple them and develop relationship. It's not just 1 hour a week. It is investing yourself in an individual so that way they may someday have to call you when they have a question or a problem or a need. And they don't have to say, well, who is this? Because you've already invested in them. It's to establish a relationship. It's also to find a way to give good fruit. But it also is an equal part of the Great Commission. Next thing is to expand the disciples' effectiveness. To expand the disciples' effectiveness. And, you know, the purpose is to what? Help people reach their potential for God. I look across this room and I think that there's probably people in this room that would say, hey, I could have used that when I first got saved. And I think there's people that could say, hey, I could use that now. And that's what we're going to try to do as a smaller group, and then hopefully train you. If you have questions, you want more of it, I'd be glad to help any way I can. but to train so that way it can make you more effective. You know, people today are not effective many times in their word of God, and they're not effective with understanding the Bible. They're not effective in their praying. They're not effective in their stewardship. They're not effective in their soul winning. They're not effective in their discipling. Why is that? Because it never happened for them. And so I think it's important that we do this, whether it be through a certain system, through a certain core group. But you say, well, this is what I need. You don't know what the other person needs. That's why you try to be effective with it. Ultimately, the goal is to help a disciple to reach the potential for God. We want to see them develop this relationship. We want to see them walk with God. We want to see them come into church. We know what God's walk has done for us, and we want to see them be effective in these things. And that's the reason why I think it's important that we learn as a group, so that way in the future, God can use us to help disciple those that are around us. Think about a couple of things. Expand their disciples' effectiveness in the Word of God. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, not 1:9, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So they're saying that they can have success with the Word of God by learning it, by meditating it, by doing it, by not letting it depart out of your mouth. But who has that type of success? Well, if they learn it and understand it better, there's a much better chance that they would be effective. Effectiveness in praying. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It helps them be more effective when it comes to prayer. When you, as a more mature believer, can go to somebody and encourage them and say, this is what helps in my prayer life. This is what my prayer list looks like. This is the things that, you know, the closer I draw to God, I've learned that He's going to draw near to me. And stewardship. Say, Pastor, I would never feel comfortable talking to somebody about money. Well, at this point in time, you don't talk about stewardship week one. You talk about stewardship later on. They already know that you love them. They already know that you've cared about them, and they already know that. And then when you talk about stewardship, you go to them with this thought. You know what? In Matthew 6:21, for your treasure is there will your heart be also. This is what helped me in my life. This is what, when I put stewardship first, God has been faithful to me. And when I had my treasure in God and the work of God, that's where my heart was. This is what's best for you. This is what's best for your family. This is between you and God, but this is what's best for you and your family. And when you approach it like that, then guess what? People are going to be responsive. If they don't know, then they're never going to learn. Then they're never going to grow. He said, well, that's the pastor's job to preach. Well, if I preached about stewardship every single week or preached about basic Bible things every single week, then we wouldn't grow. But that's why it's good for someone, an individual, to go and take and say, it's good to be friends with people. It's good to be friendly to people. But if there's someone that the Lord lays upon your heart or someone who I ask you to, it'd be good to know how to go through this with them and encourage him with this. Let's think about the next one. And soul winning. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know, the discipler should be trying to disciple them about soul winning. That's when you encourage them to come with you on a visit, or encourage you to come with them when they're going door knocking. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And next thing is in discipling. And then we go back to that verse that we learned already. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. This is God's design. This is not something Pastor Pease made up. This is not something Pastor Pease is trying to do, is get you by a book. We write out all these handouts that many times, sometimes they come in book form that you can fill out, because I don't want you guys to spend money on little Sunday school things. But this is an opportunity for you to have something that you can take with you to help ground yourself, but also something you can use as a tool to help somebody else in the future too. So think about some key words for discipleship, disciplers, and we'll be done. Some important, say, should everybody be a discipler? Everybody who's a Christian be a discipler? Well, let's ask this question. Should we be all teaching others about Christ? I think the answer would be yes. Is everybody at a spiritual level that they should be doing it? Probably not. So here's some words that help you, that help me understand, and I think will encourage you also. First thing is, they're all going to start with this letter C, is character, but in all reality, we're talking about being holy, being humble, and being hungry. you know, there are certain people that you want. You want someone who can model after. You want to teach somebody to follow you as they follow after Christ. So you want to be able, you need to make sure that your life is right and that your life is holy. And the Bible says, but as he which have called you is holy, so be holy all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. He say, well, I'm not perfect, so I can't do it. That's an excuse. If you have something wrong in your heart with God, then guess what? Get it right, because it's worth it. Then not only is it that, no, we're not perfect. Yes, we're going to sin. These are things that this is something we can talk to a disciple about. And these are things that God's given me victory over. But if you truly want to be the proper discipler, guess what? You do have to be right with the Lord. You do have to have that character that is of holiness and one that is humble. You know, where the Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed in humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, yes, the younger are supposed to submit to the older. You know, that's what we're always saying, right? Yeah, you're supposed to listen to me. You know, are you holy? There's, like I said, sometimes when some of the older people say and do things, I'm like, we're supposed to submit to God first. But it said, be clothed with humility. If we really truly want to be, we need God's power to do this, to change a life. Yes, everything has become new. They become new creature. But to stick with it, with all the temptations the world has to offer, all the things the devil's throwing at them, all the things that their family and friends might not understand, that's why it's good to have someone come alongside and say, hey, this is truth. This is what we believe. And this is why we believe it. We should be hungry. I'm not talking about bringing snacks, which isn't a bad thing, but hungry, being hungry for the Word of God. I know some of you had to step out because of special things, but we'll be finished here in a minute for the rest of you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This characteristics are ones that talk about what makes a good discipler. Next thing is caring. If you don't care about people, guess what? You probably should not be a discipler. If you don't care about people, then you know what? You say, well, I'll never be a discipler. Why don't we start caring about people? Instead of saying, well, I can't do it because I'm not someone who cares. Ask God to give us a burden. And we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to provoke one another. But it does mean it needs to be someone who cares about individuals. The Bible says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. John Wesley says, do all good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all times you can to all the people you can as long as you can. They're not going to want to listen to you until they know that you care. Next one is competent. A person that's disciple should not be someone, and you got these verses in your outline, should be someone who understands the Bible. It's not somebody who has to know everything, because if that was the case, nobody would be doing anything, because nobody knows everything. But you should be competent in the material you have. It's something you should look at and you should read and study. Committed or commitment is another word that's important. What if it profit my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit even so faith? If it have not works, is dead, being alone. You know, there's an important thing that we need to be is committed. Committed to the things of God. And that's why I think it's good to understand this. Next one is considerate. You know, what do you mean considerate? That's like caring. I think it's referring to the word considerate here as one who will consider the Word of God. One who will muse on the Word of God. Psalms 143 verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Someone who is a thought-provoking person. The person that's not just going through the motions and not just as someone who is praying, as someone who's considering what God is doing, how God is working, how God is leading. That is something a discipler is supposed to be and supposed to do. So next Sunday, for a little while in our Sunday school class, we're going to go through a discipleship class. And I hope you pray about it, and I hope you give consideration about what God can do and what God will do in your life. And then, is in preparation, number one, to make sure you're grounded, but more importantly, to encourage you and give you a way and a model to help those that you know and help those that you come across. Someday we're going to be looking for people that will go alongside and help others disciple somebody. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for the people in this room. Lord, I pray that they respond to this thought of being a disciple and also a discipler. Lord, I know that you want us to give the word of God out. I know you want us to tell others. And Lord, it's a very difficult time and age that we live in, but over the centuries, it's always been a difficult time and age because the devil's always been real and the devil's always tried to stop people from knowing and going and growing and loving. And Lord, I pray that we get a burden, that we spend this week asking you to help us during these 14 weeks, but also ask this question, who can I give the word of God out to? Who can I be teaching? Who can I be encouraging? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. Remember, bring a pen next week.